have to write this before the end of the night.
Good evening. It's Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. At 6 p.m. We're here in the council chambers. This is the regular city and borough of Wrangell assembly meeting. Can we have Ms. Gilbert do the Pledge of Allegiance tonight, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We have one ceremonial matter tonight, and that's Representative Cortez is here to give us a legislative update. Thanks so much for coming, Representative. We really appreciate it.
You bet. So I'll be standing here.
Folks, I'm sorry, you're going to have to turn around to see the screen because if we do it this way, it blinds everybody on that side.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mayor Prasanka, and members of the Assembly, and Manager Von Bargen for the opportunity to come and chat for a little bit tonight. And I promise it's going to be a little bit, because you guys have a packed agenda, so I want to get this done in, like, in 5 minutes. And I have a number of slides, but we're not going to go through them all. Just some of them, yeah, I think you've seen before. And so I hope to be done with this in 5 minutes, and then if you have some questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them. And before I start, why I'm here, I just always try to make it my goal before the start of every legislative session.
Just 1 second. We'll just let folks get settled and then we'll let you go.
No problem.
Y'all good?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. All right. Anyway, I try to make it a goal of mine to get to every community that I represent before the start of every legislative session, just to check in, just to get my marching orders, to get, you know, your wish list, things like that. Manager Von Bargen told me today that your capital budget requests, you'll have a meeting about that in January, and I'll be looking for that information as well to take with me to Juneau for consideration in the process. But thank you all for agreeing to, you know, represent the community. I mean, it's a huge task, and I thank you for your dedication for that very much. So, we start our session January 21st. And as you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, the state has been struggling with its fiscal situation, trying to hammer out a sustainable fiscal plan. Since I've been in office, you know, we've been dealing with that every year. And we still haven't really arrived at that solution. It's not an easy solution because it involves either added revenue, taxes, or it involves significant more budget cuts. It involves now, you know, the size of the PFD, which everybody wants as large a PFD as possible. So it's been a struggle, but we continue to be committed to trying to come up with a solution. The majority caucus that I'm a part of continues to be committed to that solution. And so we'll see if we can arrive at it this year. Anyway, the situation in this first slide kind of illustrates where we've been and where we're going. And you know, all the way up until 1977, we didn't have oil money. And so we funded our operations in the traditional fashions with some taxes on different parts of industry. But we also had an income tax and things like that. Income tax went away when we got oil revenue. And for a while, we lived primarily, entirely off of oil revenue. And then in the last couple of years, the previous years before that, we had to start using savings because oil revenue began to drop off. As well as oil revenue, and then recently we're using some of the permanent fund earnings to fund government operations as well as continued oil revenue. Next slide, please. And of course, this slide illustrates why we have that problem. It illustrates the price, the amount of production of oil every year, and there in the, you know, 2008s, 2010s or so, we were producing lots of barrels of oil, plus the price of oil was high as well. It got up to about $100 a barrel or so. And so we had a big crash there around 11 or 12. No, it was earlier than that, 2010. Anyways, Governor Walker here, he came in and the price of oil dropped significantly. It's slightly on the up curve again here, but it's still not anywhere near where it was back in the good old days, as they say. Next slide, please. So I mentioned that we have been using savings, and this slide here illustrates two different funds, savings accounts, what's called the Constitution Budget Reserve, or the CBR, and the Statutory Budget Reserve, which is the SBR. And you can see there that while we have been financing some of our government operations by using savings, in the process, of course, those savings have been going down, and that last slide over there to the right illustrates how much money is left in the CBR, and there's very little money left in the SBR. So continuing to use savings to buffer our budget is not an option anymore. And so that's that. Let's move on to the next slide, please. What's left in savings, illustrated right there. You have a little bit more than just about $2 billion in the Constitution Budget Reserve. And you've got some other funds there as well. But in essence, savings outside of the PFD, which is not a savings account, I should say outside of the permanent fund, they are certainly dwindling. Permanent fund, though, however, is a good story. It's now up to above $65 billion in value, and that is a good thing that we've been able to accomplish over these last 25 years or so. Next slide, please. This is an illustration of our budget versus our revenue, and of course, I think some of this background is not showing up there, is it? In any case, it's an illustration of how we spend our money is really what this slide is, and the blue represents what we call agency operations. That's all the different agencies, DOT, Health and Human Services, education, and then statewide items. Those are our yearly obligations to, we owe some money to for oil tax, what's called the incentive program. Although the incentive program has gone away, we still owe some money to that item. Statewide also includes our obligations to what's called PERS and TERS, our state retirements for teachers as well as for state workers. And then, as you see, we don't spend hardly any money anymore on the capital budget. Back in FY13, we spent a good amount of money, over $2 billion on the capital budget, almost $3 billion. Now, the capital budget is, $200 million. And it's just basically what's there to match federal money so that we can keep qualifying for federal money. So not nearly as much spending in the capital budget as we used to. Next slide, please. This includes the permanent fund dividend plus our earnings. It is what it is. We don't even talk about it anymore. You can see, however, that while we had the good times of FY14, it's starting to slide off again now in FY20. Next slide, please. These are our budget drivers now. We spend most of our money in education and health and human services. Those two things are really what are the main budget drivers. The permanent fund dividend is higher than what we spend on education, but that's not necessarily a part of the budget. It's just one of the things that we're blessed with. We to receive a permanent fund dividend. So, as you can see, people say cut the budget. Well, we have been cutting the budget, and really, outside of education and health and human services, there's not really much area where we can continue to cut without having a severe impact on those services. We've already seen significant cutbacks in the Department of Transportation, which has resulted in major cutbacks, of course, to the ferry system. So that just illustrates where our money is being spent. Next slide, please. And this doesn't show the full picture here. I'm not sure why, but so I'm not even going to talk about that slide because it's not showing up the way it should show up.
That's the next slide.
That works. Basically, what this does is it illustrates where our spending is and where our revenue is, and where what parts of the budget make up our spending, and then where our revenue comes from. And of course, we don't need to. Again, let's just move on. Again, good story is our permanent fund dividend has grown to over $65 billion. And we have what's called the principal of the fund and the earnings reserve of the fund. And in the principal of the fund, there's $47.9 billion. And on the earnings reserve, there's 15.6 $1 billion. Move on. And what we've done in the legislature, back with the passage of Senate Bill 26, we have, as I said before, we've started to use some of the earnings to fund state operations, but we limit ourselves on how much we can draw on the overall value of the fund. What we have done is we say, okay, we cannot draw any more than originally 5.25%, and in the year 2020, it's going to be a 5% draw, and it'll remain at 5% draw. And basically, if the fund earns, on average, and it does, 6.8%, if you do a 5% draw, well then, you're still going to see a slower growth of the fund, but a growth of the fund, and you're going to see that fund, and therefore PFDs being maintained, but at the same time, you can use some of that money then to fund operations. Move along, if you would. Okay, and let's just move. Yeah, I think we're done. We're basically done. That's just real quick and dirty, but, you know, I'm here to answer questions more than anything. I can tell you that tomorrow we expect the governor's budget to come out for this upcoming year, and I'm going to be looking really closely at what he has in store for what he wants to do with the Alaska Marine Highway system. That'll tell me a lot as to what the ultimate direction of the administration will be with the Marine Highway system. I'll also be very interested in looking at funding for all the other agencies because, you know, fishing game is important. If we don't manage our resources well, then that hurts us in the long run with fish taxes, with people being able to earn money in the fishing industry and all those kinds of things. So we're all looking forward to seeing what the governor submits this next tomorrow for this upcoming fiscal year. And, that's what I got for you, but I'll be glad to answer any questions either from the public or from members of the Assembly.
So we'll start with the Assembly. Do you think that the Assembly have any questions for that?
Do you have a permanent fix for the Prince Rupert Ferry?
I can't announce that at this point, but I'm telling you that even as late as after our conversation that we had today, I heard some very positive news. Things are looking very good, but I'm going to leave it up to the Department of Transportation to make that announcement. So, I can tell you that they are committed to, the administration is committed to looking to a long-term solution for Prince Rupert. And that's largely a result of the work of your mayor, who worked really hard on that issue. And so I appreciate that very much. And as we spoke about this afternoon, there's going to be a hearing early on in the legislative session about the Marine Highway System, and Representative Stutes, who is the chairman of the Department of Transportation from Kodiak, also very interested in the Marine Highway System, wants to hear from members for all of Alaska about the importance of the Marine Highway System and why we need to continue to look at supporting that and funding that. So I've requested that Mayor Persunka organize some folks from Wrangell to prepare to testify over the telephone on on that particular issue.
I have a couple questions, Dan. We're chronically worried about our school funding and the ability for the school district to budget appropriately into the future. And as you know, it's tenuous to get teachers to come to small communities, and it takes time. Is there any idea on the governor's commitment to trying and...
Well, there's two things. Number one, if he's going to continue to cut the budget, really where he can cut the budget and the legislature can cut the budget is in two areas, health and human services and education. I mean, really that's where it comes down to. So I'm a little nervous about what he's going to say tomorrow in that budget for education. On the other hand, I do think that one of the positive pieces of news that I also just heard was that the legislature won its lawsuit against the administration to continue to allow the legislature to, if we choose to forward fund education, which just knowing what the amount is, earlier on than what you have been recently is a positive thing, just so everybody can plan and those kinds of things. And we also won the portion where last year we funded an added $20 million above the traditional funding formula, and then this year we were scheduled to fund it another $30 million, and we won the portion of the lawsuit that says, yeah, you're obligated to spend that $30 million. And so there will be an added amount of money that you guys hadn't previously planned on that'll come as a result of that added $30 million.
No, we don't want it. We're all good. Does anybody have your question?
That's for two, three.
That's FY 21. That's this upcoming. No, actually, I think that's this 20. Funding cycle. It's this year. Yeah, it's this year. Yeah.
Does anybody in the gallery have any questions for Representative Ortiz? Dan, I want to thank you so much. We were today when we were meeting with the city manager. She brought up that she has never experienced a level of commitment from a representative like you have made to Randall. And you're constantly checking in with us and listening to our concerns, and we really appreciate it. And this trip down to let us know where we're at and where we're heading. Thank you so much.
You bet. Hey, well, it's my job.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we're moving on to item two. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
DeLong.
Here.
Decker.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
Larrabee. And Mayor Prasanka.
Here. We're going to move on to persons to be heard. Before we do, I wanted to just take a second and explain kind of our overall rules for persons to be heard here at the Assembly, and some gallery rules for folks. There's a variety of topics tonight that people may want to speak on, and some of these topics are fairly passionate topics for people, and I appreciate that. And one of the things that we really appreciate is that people took the time out of their night to come down and talk to us and tell us your feelings about these things. It's very important that everybody has the ability to be heard, even if you disagree with their opinion. So I would ask that there's no comments from the gallery while somebody is speaking. If you have an item that you want the Assembly to have, you can hand it to the clerk and she'll distribute it to the Assembly. You don't need to come up and give each member. If you're speaking to us and us alone, you can't turn around to the gallery and say, "Who's with me?" And we do that sort of rah-rah cheerleading. This is a respectful time. We will respectfully listen to what you have to say. And for the most part, there's no questions. This is your chance to talk to us. If we need clarification on something, then through the chair, they'll be asked to clarify and I'll give you the opportunity. Normally, I limit persons to be heard to 3 minutes. But tonight, this topic, I don't want to limit anybody. I want you to feel heard. And so if that takes 5 minutes and you're moving forward with it through a process, I will allow you to do that. If I find that somebody's spinning their wheels and maybe repeating the same points, and you're over the 3 minutes, I'll give you a little thumbs up and let you know that it's time to start wrapping it up, and we'll give you 30 seconds to wrap it up. But I want everybody to come away feeling that you've had a chance to communicate with this body. Our first person up tonight, we're going to do our invocation first and ask for some guidance here. So, Ken, if you'd come up and do the invocation for us, please.
I'll watch for the thumbs up.
Yes.
No. And as I begin, I just want to say, hey, thank you so much. I know that all of you in your positions, you take a lot of guff and you get a lot of maybe unnecessary feedback from the community and things like that. But I know as a pastor here in the community, as a community member, as a representative of Harbor Light, we want to say thank you for everything that you do, for serving our community in the position that you do. And we know that those decisions that you make for us and with us, you don't take lightly. And so thank you so much. And really, let me go ahead and pray for you. God, we thank you so much for these individuals that serve our community. God, we ask you, as it states in the book of James, God, that if any man lacks wisdom, they can ask of you, and God, you give freely. We ask that you would do that for these members, for our community. God, that you would just continue to bless them and their families, as well as our community. And God, just give us divine insight and direction, not just for now, but God, even for the future. We thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. So tonight we have a very special first speaker. Hank Volks from our high school did a project in Mr. Carney's class where he put together a proposal on an issue that he felt was important. And Hank, I'm going to let you explain that, but I just want to let the body know that Hank scored one of the top marks, if not the top mark, in his class for his proposal on the municipal project. So we really want to recognize Hank, and he's coming down to kind of go through the project with us. So Hank, take it away.
So as many of you guys know, I'm Hank Bolts. We wrote proposals on things that we thought needed to be fixed or brought up in the community. I wrote a proposal on why Shoemaker parking lot should be paved, and so I brought it here for you guys.
That's great.
Do you guys have any questions?
You bet. I bet we do. Anybody want to take a question?
I think it's an excellent idea.
Well, sorry, David, go ahead.
How did you come up with your pricing and everything for your...
I looked on in the last page. It shows the websites, but I looked on a website in Alaska that deals with gravel, pavement, and all the expenses, and went on Google Maps and figured out the square feet of the parking lot, went through all their pricing ranges, seen what needed to be tore up, what needed to be put down before it got paved, and figured it out like that, using that.
Well, Hank, I give you an A plus on loan. But for extra credit, there's something that you were not aware of. At the present, we are without a dump truck. So I noticed that you calculated the square footage and the depth of all the materials used to pave the parking lot, correct?
Yep.
Well, if you could calculate the volume. Just take the square footage times the depth. Watch your units, young man. Watch your units. And if you calculate the volume and then find out how many dump truck loads that would take and how much time, because we're going to have to rent a dump truck.
Yeah. It's in here. It says how much a truck costs per day to use a dump truck.
Good. But did you calculate the number of runs?
I calculated, per day, how much it rented per day.
Per day. All right, you've already done that. Extra credit. It's great.
Okay. Julie Decker is phoned in. She has a question for you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Hank, I want to make a couple of comments, but I like that you connected the need at the Shoemaker Harbor for paving with the sort of increased traffic at Heritage Harbor and how it would alleviate that. That was a really good point. And Dave, Assembly Member Powell stole my first question, but I had two questions for you. First, and they're kind of related, so I'll say them both together. First, have you thought about running for the Port Commission? And second, did you think about or talk to him at the harbor about what the annual budget was and then what your total, which I think was about $300,000, what your cost estimate was, what that would be as a percentage of the annual budget?
No, I haven't talked to him about that.
And what about the Port Commission?
I don't even know what that is.
Come and see me.
He's being non-committal, Julie. Hank, my question for you is, what other project did you consider? Another project? I know fishing is important to your family. Was this the only project you considered, or was there anything else in the community that you had thought about that you could write about?
This was like the main topic. Everybody picked one to write about, whether they wrote it or didn't.
Fantastic. So Hank's proposal has been submitted. Hank, I would like to encourage you to go when you get a chance and meet with Amber at her office, and she actually has the plans and would be able to walk you through the numbers that the sort of, you know, we're working on that project right now, right? So I encourage you to go meet with Amber and walk through the actual numbers and sort of do a comparison and see how you lined out on it. But this type of work, there's a lot of jobs in this kind of work. So it's really smart of you to be concentrating on that. And we want to thank you. We have written a letter here for you, Hank. And hopefully you can use this as you move on. But it just says, the mayor of the city and borough of Wrangell wishes to recognize Mr. Hank Folks for his dedication to our community, specifically his proposal for the Shoemaker parking lot pavement project. His proposal demonstrated time and effort by conducting interviews and researching the Shoemaker Harbor parking lot's needs. Further, Mr. Volz outlined the environmental impact as well as the cost to complete the project. It gives me great pleasure to present Mr. Volz with this letter of recognition, and it is my hope that the community sees involvement like this in the future. Sincerely, Stephen. So thank you very much. You don't have to stay, Hank, if you don't want to. You have done your municipal duty.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
If I could just follow up and say thanks, Hank, but what I would like to say is that your project is extremely timely, because at this very moment, we currently have a project where 28,000 square feet of that parking lot is being excavated and replaced with geotextile fabric and good material. We are unable to afford the paving of it, but we are doing a portion of that parking lot right now, and the cost to do the 28,000 square feet is $173,000. I think the total parking lot is how much?
Rough number, about 188,000 square feet.
So we're only doing 28,000 square feet right now. But that project is getting
done. We'll see the plans with Amber, because there's plans and people have engineered this. So if you get a chance, and Amber can show it to you, it's pretty cool stuff, all the engineering. Thanks again, Hank. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks
for coming down. Well, that's got to be one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
We're adjourned.
Yeah.
Let's go. Shall we? All right. So we are on to still persons to be heard. And first up, we have Maria Byford. And you would like to speak on the Robus Rule. And you can speak now, Maria. I think it would be best if we sort of move through. Sometimes we let folks speak during the time, too.
Okay.
Why don't you come up now and speak to us?
Well, I just wanted to ditto what Ken said. I really appreciate the work you do, you know. And I did have a 3.5-minute speech that my husband said, just cut the flowery academia. This is Wrangell, so it's not 3 minutes anymore. So again, I'm speaking on your resolution number 12-19-1503 of the Assembly supporting Roadless Rule Alternative 6. And given that the current Roadless Rule gives access to communities for hydropower or other non-timber related projects, and that since 2009, 48 projects have been approved, is there a need to change the rule? And given that the studies performed by, I'm probably mispronouncing, John Schoen, Matthew Kirchhoff, and Olaf Duomo for the Alaska Fishing Game in the 1980s showed that clear cutting of old growth was detrimental to the deer population, which are vital to our subsistence needs in Southeast. And given that, according to Randall O'Toole of the Cato Institute, previous logging in its heyday was heavily subsidized by taxpayers, is large clear cutting economically viable, especially without pulp mills? If the reason for support of Alternative 6 is more jobs, wouldn't it make more sense, rather than a quick clear-cutting and exporting of round logs, to instead do selective logging by small mills selling value-added products? Wouldn't this create more long-term work for more people and more money spent in the community? And given that the study commissioned by the Wrangell Convention and Visitor Bureau states that tourism is the second largest sector industry in Wrangell, with visitors spending $5.1 million in the community during the summer months of May to September, doesn't tourism deserve equal consideration? And last September, Governor Dunleavy, in addressing the International Forum of Sovereign Wealth Funds, made this statement, I'd say take a look at Alaska for a whole host of reasons. We have our traditional resources. We're a new state. So imagine America in some respects 100 years ago. That 100 year ago temperate rainforest once included Oregon and Washington. 96% has been destroyed by logging in Oregon, and 75% is gone in Washington. Is this the future for the Tongass as well? I urge you to consider wisely the impact of your vote today and not endorse option 6.
Thanks for your time. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Next up, Mr. Rack, you're up.
If anybody wants to see the maps. My name is David Rack. I live at 7 1/4 miles of Moya Highway. And I'm addressing the resolution supporting the roadless alternative 6. I ask that you not support the resolution supporting alternative 6 of the roadless rule, because that alternative fails to support the current economy of Wrangell and is not needed for future mineral development or transportation and utility corridors. The Wrangell Visitor Industry by the Numbers, a report prepared for the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau by Rain Coast Data in November of 2019 reports, and I quote, tourism is an economic driver in the community. It is the second largest private sector industry after maritime, which includes the seafood. The Wrangell visitor industry is growing, and once the numbers are finalized for 2019, a significant increase in jobs and wages for Wrangell is projected. In the summer of 2018, an estimated 20,000 tourists visited Wrangell. These tourists spent an estimated $5.1 million in Wrangell that summer. In 2019, 32% more summer visitors arrived than in 2018 based on preliminary estimates in that report. I ask that you review the alternatives for the roadless rule to the Tongass and support the one that best supports Wrangell's current maritime and tourism economic drivers. The roadless rule is a decision made by the Secretary of Agriculture. For some background, the laws of the United States overrule any rules made by the Secretary. There's a hierarchy of those things, which I can explain if you want, but I don't think you need it. Wrangell's potential mineral development is covered by an existing law. The U.S. Mining Law of May 1872 provides for access for valid mining claims on national forests and other public lands. An exemption from the roadless rule by the Secretary of Agriculture is not needed to support future mineral development near Wrangell. Mining access is provided for in the existing 1872 federal mining law. And on Wrangell, transportation and utility corridors are also covered by an existing law. Section 4407 of the Transportation Act of 2005, aided by Representative Don Young, provides a network of transportation and utility corridors across the Tongass National Forest to the state of Alaska. You have a map. An exemption from the roadless rule by the Secretary of Agriculture is again not needed to support the transportation and utility corridors near Wrangell. Transportation and utility corridors are provided for in the existing 2005 law. Again, I request that you not support Alternative 6 of the roadless rule because it fails to support Wrangell's economy. Please do a more in-depth review of the roadless alternatives and support the one that best fits and meets the needs of our economy. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Rack. Appreciate that. Ms. Keller, where are you? Helen? Sorry, if you want, you're more than welcome to present during the item. So if you want, it's just you speaking on it. So if that's, we wait, maybe, and it's next stop, basically. So is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And that's it for persons to be heard. I do want to mention that we did receive numerous documents regarding the roadless rule from folks. And those are available if anybody would like to see those. The assembly was forwarded everything in terms of letters that were put forward through the clerk. We received those and they're in our packet. So, all right. Hand back down. Back down to amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict that they'd like to declare? Hearing none, we'll move on. Consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second. We move to second. We'll have someone in the pile second that, please. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Now, item seven, Borough Manager's Report. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a small handful of items to go over briefly. The first thing I would like to mention, although it seems to be missing from my stack here, is that Evergreen Elementary School received an award today, and I spoke to Superintendent Debbie Lancaster, and they're having their school Christmas concert tonight, so she was unable to be here, but I just want to read a couple of items here about this. Two schools were named National ESEA Distinguished Schools. Evergreen Elementary School in the Wrangell School District and Intestamina Elementary School in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District have been named National ESEA Distinguished Schools by the Department of Education and Early Development. Evergreen Elementary School was recognized for excellence in serving special populations of students, and I just want to give a huge congratulations to the district and to the staff and the faculty and the administration at Evergreen Elementary. This is a huge award, and I'm just so pleased at what our school is able to do. The next thing I'd like to report is I had a conversation with Mayor Jensen from Petersburg when I was in Anchorage at AML, and we have notification of this. Petersburg was able to convince NMFS to do a hearing on the NAF from regarding the critical habitat for humpback whales that is being addressed right now in our area, and that is going to be taking place on January 6th in the Assembly Chambers in Petersburg. And anybody that's interested may want to travel for that. I don't know if the borough wants to send somebody over to that. The public comment period has been extended until January 31st, 2020, next year, but I just want to let everybody know that that public hearing in Petersburg will be from 4 to 7 on January 6th. Another feel-good item I would like to go over with you is the Nolan Center received kudos from the Wrangell Senior Center. The Nolan Center has been holding senior nights, and they showed the movie South Pacific not too long ago, and the letter from the Wrangell Senior Center says, "Thank you so much for your help with our movie night. It went well. Many of the folks rarely get out in the evening, and they were excited and commented about it. On the way home in the senior van, I wish you could have heard the group sing. It was really touching. Thanks to Molly and June for their excellent help, too. The Nolan Center is a jewel in this small town. I come from Haines, and there's nothing to compare to the Nolan Center there. Thanks for bringing a bit of culture and education to a little town in Alaska. You are probably underappreciated." So I just, as you know, the Nolan Center serves as a community gathering place, and this is a great example of that. So thank you to the seniors for recognizing that. Representative Ortiz was here today, and the mayor and I had an opportunity to meet with him earlier. We also had a meeting today with our regional OCS representative from Petersburg, who was here working. So we had an opportunity to meet with her. That was a very good meeting. I also had a meeting today with our regional representatives from the IBEW. Jay Rhodes, who has been our regional representative, is retiring, and he's being replaced by Robert Stamm, and I had an opportunity to meet with him. And I just want to say thank you to Jay Rhodes for his open communication with me over the last couple of years, and good luck to him in his retirement. This has been a crazy week for the borough in terms of IT work. We are having a new server installed here, and I will invite any of you to speak to Joyce offline about that. She has been working with the IT contractor out of Seattle to put in that new server and the things that have been found with regard to that have been disturbing, to say the least. Anybody that is interested can also speak to Amber about the electrical issues in more detail if you would like to know more about that. In addition to that, we have an IT consultant coming in from Juno on Thursday who will be doing a full assessment of all of our needs. And we have the ability, once that assessment is done, we own that information, so we are able to use that if we want to negotiate a contract with that firm, or we may use that to do an RFP and put it out for competitive invitation for IT services. But we are finally going to get a full assessment of what our needs are and be able to move forward with that. We received a recommendation from, we were alerted to a safety issue by a gentleman named Mr. Kurth regarding the crosswalks in front of the school, the middle school and the high school. And it's a simple matter of extending the red paint so that we have the appropriate visual sight for people to see past parked cars when they're walking out into the crosswalks. And that the Public Works Department is going to be taking that on. We're just going to make that happen in concert, working with the school to make sure that they understand what's happening and to advise them. So I just wanted to, he's been advised by email, but I just want to let the community know that we're going to be making some slight changes close to the crosswalks by the schools to make sure that there isn't a safety hazard anymore for people using those crosswalks. I think that is it, with the exception of the fact that I want two more things. I first want to make sure that the community understands we continue to investigate what is going on with this seeming anomaly on the consumption of electric usage in homes around the community. And Wrangell Municipal Light and Power is responding to requests for assistance from a number of property owners in town. Some meters have been tested. We've only had one of those fail, and by fail I mean it was only reading 99.7% accurate, and that is outside the parameters, even though it's only off by 0.3. 36 meters have been reread at homeowners' requests, and all of the meter rereads have proved to be within consistent kilowatt usage. So that's not the issue. There's been an analysis of heating degree days and whether that is playing some role or not. We're not sure, but we would like people to recognize that for this billing cycle, we had 742.7 heating degree days as opposed to last month, which was 471.4. I don't know exactly what that means in terms of heating degree days. I just know that you suck more energy and you need more heat when that's the case. There are people who have contacted the electric department, and the electric department is working with folks who have had some internal issues like equipment running or things plugged in that they weren't really aware of that were sucking a lot of energy. So in some instances there may be some things that homeowners can do to cut down on that consumption, but they are continuing to investigate, and we will post some things online as we try to figure out what's going on. So I just want to make sure that the community understands we are aware of the issue. In my little postage stamp home alone, the difference between this month and last month was 250 kilowatt hours. So nobody is immune to what's going on. That's for sure. And we will continue to report out. But please let the community know that we are taking this very seriously and will maintain communication. And then the last thing I have is Assemblymember Powell, a fair time ago, had asked for a list of grant equipment that had been purchased by grants. And those items are restricted actually to Homeland Security grants. And Joyce was able to get a list of all of that equipment and vehicles. And so I have that for you right here. She is preparing a written report to give you some information, and we will send that out to you via KYP for your information. But this is the list of equipment so that you have it. But I just wanted to let you know we're working on that. And I think that's all I've got right now for my report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Any questions for City Manager on her report? Kim, you're up. Clerk's report.
I don't have anything other than what's in my report. I hate following you.
Well, I don't know. I think we've done some exciting stuff. We had a wonderful presentation.
Oh, we did. We did. We had our OMA presentation yesterday. And Open Meetings Act from our borough attorney, Joe Levesque. And it was very successful. We had quite a few people show up. So, yep.
Excellent.
Mr. Mayor, I did forget to introduce our city attorney. So if you wouldn't mind doing that would be great.
Yes. So was it about a year now, Joe, that we...
Since March.
Yeah.
So we went out to an RFP last year for a request for proposals for a new attorney, or not a new attorney, but just looking at what would be available. Because we'd had the same attorney for many years. And the attorney that we had chose not to reapply to the RFP. We received two really competitive options, and Joe's firm, Levesque Joseph, and your brother, oh my goodness,
Shane.
I forgot his name. Tell Shane I forgot his name, he'll love that. And Shane, they have a small firm, and they were able to successfully win that bid, and we're very thrilled. Joe's been absolutely incredible and extremely responsive, and has done excellent legal work for us on a whole host, very large variety of issues. So we really appreciate it. And he's come down to visit us, and I will say that he came down, part of the commitment was to come down on his company's dime to spend time with us and to do some education for not just this body, but also the school board and the ports and harbors to help keep us out of trouble with the Open Meetings Act. And so we had about a 3-hour session yesterday where Joe walked us through all that, and then we've had meetings with Joe during the day. So we really appreciate you coming down here, and it's nice to have you. Thank you very much, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. So that was Borough Clerk. Anything else, Kim, for
you?
Any questions for the clerk? All right. Number 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Does anybody have any reports or business?
I thought AML went very well this year. It was interesting on the very last day when usually you're down to maybe 2 or 3 tables. The room was almost full. I mean, people are pretty fired up. Had a good meeting on the ferry system, which was very interesting. I think, and not only from other communities, but from us too, we need to start making a real concerted effort to contact other communities that are on the ferry system and see what we can do, get worked out, but do it as one entity. Get everyone on the same, you know, dancing to the same tune and see what can be done.
Perfect.
Because something has to be done.
Absolutely.
They can't feed the kids in Angoon. I mean, it's really grim. So, but AML went very well. I thought this year we had some good meetings.
Thanks very much, Anna. Maya?
I also want to say that AML did go well. I think it's very important for us to keep integrated with other communities because during the formal presentations and then what goes on afterwards, you're able to talk to representatives from Haines and talk about their issues and on a personal level, but it's a really great opportunity for different communities to get together and talk. And it's the holiday season. I just want to encourage the public to shop local, and we had a great Midnight Madness that the Chamber puts on and other shopping events, so I think it helps us all stay healthy economically when we shop local this holiday.
Absolutely.
I attended the IFA board meeting, and we're still having trouble with the Buy America provision. It seems that it will not be waived. So I don't know what the solution is. They have, we have the Alaska delegation working on it, and but it's really hindering our repairs.
Can you explain for folks, just to understand?
Oh, the Buy America is this steel has to be made in America. Mm-hmm. And so the problem is we purchased boats with the propeller mechanism and the gear reduction system. I'm using all those words. The gear reduction system. And we can't use American steel because if we do, then we violate our warranty. So it's kind of a catch-22.
Patty, is there a certain percentage of American steel that has to be used? A certain percentage of foreign steel that can be used? Because I know there was a big fishing boat out in Dutch Harbor, built a $10, $12 million boat. And they had a percentage or two over of foreign steel in it. And they had the delegation had to go, and finally they got a waiver on it. But it was nasty.
They tried everything, so it's still a problem.
Well, a couple of things. I sent around a message, and I got a message out to the community, both in the paper and on Facebook, and then to the assembly directly, just about the trip to D.C. and how I thought that went. I learned a lot about PILT, which is payment in lieu of taxes, and the Secure Rural School Fund. And what I've come to realize is how important it is to our community to have those funds, and how it would be absolutely devastating if we lose those funds. And it is not guaranteed that we will receive them this year. So we'll keep up that fight. And the delegation, our delegation was very positive. I would say that everyone was very warm and were very responsive to our issues, to our community issues, and I had about seven that I went through. So I was very pleased with that. And I would recommend that, given the opportunity again, if we can go back and meet with the delegation. And what you're meeting with is not just your representative there, but their staff and the DC staff. And that's what I've learned. We have an Alaska staff for Senator McCoskey's office who I've met with up in Anchorage. But you meet the D.C. staff, and it's a whole different crew of people, and they're very connected. And I'd like to just mention that our two lobbyists, Sebastian and Brad, were phenomenal. And they were able to really pave the way for our issues to be brought to the fore. So I really appreciate that. Wanted to make the community aware, we were contacted by the school last week. Lisa and I were asked to meet with the school, and we did. And the school had identified some real concerns for some students that they have. Of course, no names were given, but it was an overall overreaching concern that some of our kids are at risk in our community. And there's a possibly, we need to have a large discussion about the issues that our community is facing around drugs and food insecurity and all these topics. But for right now, we nailed it down to say we want to get through the next 3-4 weeks and make sure that every family and every child in our community is safe. And so the community has stepped up. We met with a large group that included the faith community, Parks and Rec, Nolan Center, EMS, police department. We all came together. And the hospital, thank you, and search
WCA, the tribe.
The tribe as well. And at the end, what's been produced is opportunities for young people to do things every day. Some of those things, for the most part, include some food. So if we have kids that have food insecurities going through the Christmas season, we're also trying to create this sort of informal network that if there's a family that's struggling for Christmas this year, there are people in this community that would be more than willing to help make every Christmas positive for every family, to make sure that there's food and there's some presents for kids, and that kids have a warm winter jacket. So I'm really encouraging the community to reach out and keep an eye on each other. We are currently trying to set up a safe place for anyone who feels at risk to go. We're just in the process of finishing that up, where there would be adults available to respond immediately to help and to ensure that people are safe. So keep an eye out and be aware, and let's keep everybody safe as we move forward. A larger discussion is forthcoming. We didn't want to auger into what are the issues right now. We're going to have that discussion in January and February, and our new police chief will be coming. which well, I'll let Lisa go back and do one of her famous do-overs here in a second. But we want to really have him here to be a part of that discussion, to talk about drugs and to talk about some of the social ills that we have. So just really encourage the community to keep an eye out for each other. The last thing that I want to make mention of is that in our recent SEPA package, we've received notification that the budget for SEPA has been built on a 0.5 of a cent increase to our wholesale power rate. And I can say honestly, I've been on the board 4 years, and we've had general discussions about a rate increase at some point, but never specific instructions, nor have we said build this coming year's budget on a 0.5 cent increase. And this can be problematic because not only do we have the 0.5 cent increase, we also have the fact that they have now pretty much committed to removing our rebates that the communities have received in the past due to some significant failures in the system. And specifically, we lost Phase C going from Wardowski over to Bank Island. There's four underwater cables, one spare and then ABC. We lost Phase C, we had to transfer to our spare. So now Petersburg is reliant on three lines. There's no room for failure. If we have another failure, the Petersburg goes dark. So we have to come up with a solution, and it's expensive. So we're going to have to look at some way, however that might be, through bonding or through raising funds. But the really tough part for Lisa and I to stomach on this is that basically originally the agenda statement said that this would take place January 1. So we've had no lead into the community. I can assure you that I'm going down to Ketchikan to attend the meeting tomorrow. Lisa's going to be attending telephonically. We will be fighting this vehemently for our community. This is not acceptable. I'm not sure how to calculate out what the overall cost increase would be to ratepayers if you calculate in the lost dividends as well, but it will be significant. And given what we're currently going through right now, it couldn't have been any worse timing. So I know Ketchikan has reached out to us, and we haven't heard anything from Petersburg, but Ketchikan is on board with us, and right now the power balance on the board is held with the two. With Ketchikan actually holds the power balance, but with us, it's definitely there. So we will be raising some questions, and we've got a bit of an update today that there's some recognition from the staff that it could be 6 months out until we have this brought into place. But I just wanted to alert the community that this is what has been published, and we will be watching it closely. Lisa, I'm going to give you a do-over.
Yes, thank you. So we have hired a new police chief. His name is Thomas Radke. He is relocating from Minnesota, and he will be starting January 6th. And we are very excited to have him in our community. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And he's very excited to come.
And he is very excited to come as well.
Which is very nice. All right. Mayor and Assembly appointments. Sorry, let me get back to my agenda here. We have one appointment for planning and zoning. And we had one letter. And I'd just like to read this letter because I've made a lot of these appointments and never have I had such a wonderful letter written. Dear Mr. Mayor, I'm writing this letter today in regards to the vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Board. I've never been a part of a city committee before, and I'm not familiar with the rules. And folks, could I just ask please if the R is quiet? Helen, thank you.
Sorry.
Process, I'm not familiar with the rules or order of city meeting, but I am more than confident that I'll adapt quickly. Wrangell has zoned off a large part of my heart, and I'd like to be a part of a process that keeps our island progressing for years to come. More than anything, I believe it's time for me to step up to the plate and be part of my community more than just a casual rant or good idea on Facebook. You can count on me to be on time, fully focused on task at hand, nonpartisan, and present for meetings and engagements. I realize how important it is to have a quorum, especially since planning and zoning is often the first step in a person's building, new business, or construction plans. I'd really appreciate the opportunity to sit on the Planning and Zoning Committee and the opportunity to be part of keeping Wrangell moving into the future. Sincerely, Jillian Privet. And I would like to recommend to the Assembly that Ms. Privet is promoted up to be being on the planning and zoning board, and I've seen a lot of nods, so please let her know that that would be fantastic, and I appreciate the time she took writing her letter. All right, so there's no other appointments there. Public hearing. So, ordinance number 970 repealing and reenacting chapter 5.20 of the Durango Municipal Code related to the permanent fund investment policy objectives and guidelines. And this is a public hearing, and I will declare this public hearing.